We are joined in the studio by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
Good, Aaron. How are you?
Doing all right. So wrapping up the school year, but also wrapping up the season of board meetings, right, for Carborough, with a couple meetings left, both of which are going to have extremely packed agendas.
Yeah. A few busy meetings left. But, you know, it's always this cycle in May and June because, you know, first the colleges graduate and then the high schools graduate. And then mixed in with all of that, of course, are the final advisory board meetings before the summer break that inform our board meetings, which we'll be at it for the next couple of Tuesdays.
And the big news from this past Tuesday is we've come up with the process for replacing Michelle Johnson on the board, and it's going to be a special election in November.
It will be. It'll be part of the election
at the same time.
Yeah. And this was the way I figured that the board was leading. It's just that we didn't have a discussion as a total board until the resignation was kind of turned in or whatever. And as you know, she had our last meeting with us a few weeks ago. And so at this meeting, we discussed the process. It was an agenda item that laid out a couple of different ways that we could have done it. One of which is, of course, appointing someone to fill the seat, which is really what is statutorily allowed and what 98 other counties would only think about doing. Because of the timing of when this election falls, it made perfect sense to go ahead and just fold it into the November election. Now, what will happen then is instead of having three seats elected, which we have three seats up for re-election, there'll be four people who will be elected, and that fourth place finisher then will get that seat, and so they will have a two-year term. They'll fill out the term of Michelle's.
Is it going to be everyone together in the fourth place finisher?
Yes.
Because we had that issue a few years ago at the school board. That's what we thought, and then it turned out at the last minute that it actually had to be a separate thing on the ballot.
My understanding is it's the fourth place finisher fills it out, and I haven't consulted the charter lately, but I will look at it again to be sure. And if it's different, I'll be sure to let you know. But that's my understanding. So I'll double check it.
Okay. So it's Randy Haven O'Donnell, Sammy Slade, and Jackie Gist are the three that are up for election this year?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. So presumably four people will be elected, one of them to fill out the last 2 years of that term. So what else has been going on for the town of Carborough? I know every single week now it's a lot of items on the agenda.
Yeah. We'll be passing our budget. I don't think we do that on the last meeting. I think we usually leave that for the third meeting, which would be the week, I guess, of the 20th, or around that evening, the same evening as the, I think, Rogers Road groundbreaking. But I know sometime soon, and it might be that very night, actually, we'll be getting a look at 201 South Greensboro. That's where we're going to, we want to build our town-owned property that will also include the Southwest Library Branch, or the Southern Library Branch. And we might get just some kind of initial thoughts, renditions of what something like that might look like, because we have completed our space needs analysis and are looking to build some additional space, perhaps where our Parks and Recreation Department would move, and then thereby the police department would be able to have more space in the Century Center. And we're also, as you know, we've talked about this before. We've been talking to the Arts Center about whether they have an interest in moving some of their programming over there. And I know that they're kind of going through that process of thinking through that. So that Tuesday will be a time for us to kind of see what a building might look like on that site, taking into account the possible uses that might be a part of that building. It's going to be really exciting.
So if the Art Center ends up doing that, and I know like very early preliminary planning stage, so maybe there's not a definitive answer to this question, but if they do that, that space that currently exists at 300 East Main that's got the big auditorium and then that other public event space, would that still be there regardless, or would that be possibly up for redevelopment too?
I think part of this process is their exploration of what happens to that, because even though they own their own space there, I know that they have a relationship with Main Street Partners in what will happen to the future of that property. So I think that's part of what they're trying to work through, is how they would be able to move and be able to not be associated with that property anymore. So I know that's just part of the logistics.
Do you know, and I know I ask this every single time, how, like, when a decision might be taking place? Would it be this calendar year? Would it be next year sometime?
For the art center?
For the art center, for that building at 201
South
Greensboro.
Yeah, well, so that's why, so part of it is to see it on Tuesday the 20th. We already know, based on what we've, you know, heard informally from the commissioners, that they support that for the site for the library. And we already, and we know that we want to have a couple of fours for space. And I believe that the Arts Center is still kind of thinking through their process, working through it, but they could probably let us know as late as early to mid-fall if they want to be a part of that, to be a part of the architectural drawings that we'd be putting together according to the timeline that we've proposed.
It's a pretty quick turnaround.
It's, you know, it's funny. It seems like a quick turnaround. And then if you talk to the friends of the library, it's been 30 years.
Well, right, right.
But honestly, you know, this process, we've actually even been working on this process for almost a year, because when you look at correspondence that we've had with the commissioners and the Arts Center and other groups, all of these groups have been kind of working toward this throughout the fall and spring. And it's kind of culminating up with what type of an agreement that we have in terms of, you know, who does what, who pays for what, that kind of thing that needs to be worked out. But no, it's a really, really exciting project. I'd say it's one of the, I think I've mentioned this to you before, that it's the first brand new building, except for fire station number 2, that we have built in Carver in over 100 years. And so we are very excited.
Very cool. You mentioned the 30-year wait for the Friends of the Library. I'm racking my brain right now trying to think of who it was earlier this week that was talking about something is happening that has been in the works for 25 years and how long this is. And later on this month, we're going to have the groundbreaking finally for sewer service to the Rogers Road, which they've been waiting 40 years for. So, you know, we're getting to the point of culmination for a lot of these things that we've been waiting forever.
We certainly are, and it's wonderful to be mayor during that time. You know, Aaron, what you just said, it kind of made me laugh, because for many years I kept hearing, we've been waiting 25 years for this.
Yeah.
And so then lately I've been hearing, we've been waiting 30 years.
I thought, 40 years,
I thought, well, wait a minute, I thought it was 25.
I've
been hearing that for 5 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, but you know, that's the way government moves, but we move in the right direction.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking with Carver Mayor Lydia Lavelle, I know there's a lot else on the board's agenda for the next couple of weeks. Carver is a B city, and we're getting a report on that. Report on that,
We actually just got
that's
that.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to mention this, because this is kind of one of those. Last week, I know we talked about joining the mayor's, you know, the Paris Agreement, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just wanted to mention this, that, you know, I'm kind of proud of the fact that Carver is a B city. And we actually were the third B city USA. And now there are actually 47 of them across the United States. But we became the third one in 2014. And so when we became a B city, we had to agree to certain standards that we had to do. For instance, we have to commit to annually celebrate National Pollinator Week. And so that was what part of the resolution was that I read this week about. We also have to, you know, have promotions or events that shows our commitment to being a Bee City USA affiliate. And so a couple of things that we have, and so every June is when we kind of do this again. We have several pollinator gardens that we've built or planned. Like, we have one at the intersection of West Main Street and Hillsborough Road. You're required to have one of your boards be your official bee affiliate, and so the Environmental Advisory Board is our affiliate. The last couple of years, we've shown a free movie about the importance of bees, and this one this year is called Hometown Habitat, Stories of Bringing Nature Home, and it'll be at the Century Center on June 18th. So
awesome.
That's Father's Day, and it's a afternoon. If you want to go inside and get a little bit of cool air and watch a movie, keep an eye out for that. And then there's also an exhibit that is at the Carborough Arts Center called Saving Our Pollinators. And I actually was over there last evening and got a look at it. And it actually has its opening reception tonight as part of the
second Friday.
Friday Art Walk. So that's going on there. So anyway, it's just kind of a really neat initiative, I think. And the goals of Bee City USA are to raise awareness, enhance habitats, and celebrate achievements. And I will say, I know certainly for me, it's really raised my awareness about how important it is to have pollinators and to be able to keep the honeybee and the bee population alive. Last year, you recall, one of the neat things we did was to have that mural built, mural painted on fire station number one.
Yep.
And that is complete now. And every time I go by it, I think, wow, that fellow spent a lot of time painting that on there. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So one of the things that I know we talked about, and this was, God, a couple of years ago now, 25 years ago, I think we talked about this.
Maybe 30.
Maybe 30, yeah, at this point, where I think Jeff Danner was the one who brought this up when he was coming on to do the Common Science piece every week on the year. One of the things he mentioned, and this is something that I'm kind of starting to see, I think I'm starting to see it around Chapel Hill and Carborough, where in the medians on those divided highways like MLK and 54, Fordham Boulevard, rather than just having grass, we can plant flowers to encourage, to promote pollinators like bees. And this is something that I'm starting to see like more kind of leaving that median more natural and planting flowers, but I don't know if what I'm seeing is directly connected with promoting pollination. Do you know if it is?
It is. In fact, I got an email from one of our residents yesterday asking about our plantings, and because she was actually referencing all the pretty flowers that we see on the highways.
Yeah. And they look nice, too.
They do. They look great. But so I emailed our town manager, and we got a response back from our staff that, yes, we do have not just flowers everywhere, but we purposely do plant pollinators in certain locations because, in many cases, they're easier to maintain in a lot of ways, but then they also look good. And then if you look at Bee City USA, if you check out their website, it's what's called conscientious landscape management, mm-hmm. Planning with a goal in mind. And so, again, I think that this being a part of this community of Bee City USA's has helped us be more thoughtful about that. When we do our farmer's market renovation, I know that there's going to be an area we're going to have specifically set aside for pollinators. And as part of the MLK Park design, I know we've talked also about having pollinators there as well.
That's really cool that we start to be thoughtful about, like, not what we do to landscape it just to make it look pretty, but what we can do to landscape to make it look pretty and also to be functional for reasons that we wouldn't have thought of 25 years ago.
Well, we had a really kind of almost nostalgic talk about trees two meetings ago and how, there's such an urgency to just throw up a, Bradford pear or throw up, I don't mean to disparage Bradford pears. I think they're pretty, but
disparage Bradford pears. They smell awful.
To throw up a quick tree that looks nice immediately versus, planting that little tree, that little acorn that grows and grows and grows, and to think, I'll never see it at its full, height.
But someone will.
But, 40, 50, 60 years from now, this is going to be a beautiful tree to sit under and read a book, So we were lamenting the fact that we have to take down some old trees here and there, and then trying to look purposely toward targeting areas in town where big trees could grow and be maintained, because that's also the other thing is, and I know in Durham you've seen this, where there's all these beautiful big old trees, but over time, with road construction and sidewalks and houses and so on, sometimes they're in a place that, for the long term didn't make sense. So we're trying to be thoughtful about where do we want, the future kids of Carbo to be able to, I would say read their books, maybe read their iPads or whatever it is then,
close their eyes and see the image in front of them and the chip that's implanted into the brain.
Do their reading with, hopefully they'll still be barefoot and laying on their backs and looking upward. So.
Yeah, well, I was actually looking out the window this morning at my house, and we're in Durham. We've got these like beautiful tall pine trees that are probably like decades old at least, just in the backyard. And of course, now Brad and I own a home, so we're looking out the window. Yeah. Oh man, those things are gonna fall down and hit us one of these days. But how beautiful are they now?
Right.
And you put the decades of planning into it, and it grows into something really gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, you think about that. We talk about the historic elm in front of Carborough Town Hall.
Yep,
I mean, it's been around for 80, 90 years. And, Mrs. Shetley, who was on the Board of Aldermen, who's 90 years old and lives in town, she can remember when it was a little tiny tree when they did the maypole around it.
So. Yeah. townofcarborough.org if you want more information about town business. Mayor Lavelle, anything else on the agendas? I know we got Second Friday Art Walk coming up tonight, and sort of going along with that is the concert in Town Commons, right?
Yeah. So, this is going to be a great, beautiful weekend to be out and about, and tonight is the fourth of our four freight train blues, you know, musical events going on. It'll be from 6:30 to 8:30 at Carrboro Town Commons. And I went to this actually last week, and boy, it has really picked up in popularity over this second year. Just lots and lots of people there. Bring some chairs, bring a blanket. You can bring your own food. There are food trucks there. You cannot bring your own alcohol, but there is beer for sale there. But just a wonderful, you know, under a almost full moon tonight. Wonderful event to go sit at, relax, eat a little, enjoy some music, and you know, see your neighbors.
Awesome. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.